As predicted, the storm struck within the quarter hour, and with as much fury as before. But the Seahawk, with one mast and but a single sail hung, was more fit to ride it out. I rushed to the top cargo where the pumps were. They were simple suction pumps, each capable of being worked by as few as two. But four we were, Grimes, Keach, Mr. Johnson, and myself, who heaved the handles in the cold, wet, and lurching darkness, as though our lives depended upon it, which they did. Again the Seahawk became a mere toy to the elements. Wind shrieked and howled. More than once water poured over us from above, or the ship heeled to the gunwales, bringing hearts to mouths. For the merest second, we would balance on the brink of capsizing while we pumped with greater will than ever. It was as if that rhythmic action was the true beating of our own hearts, as if, were we to stop for more than a moment, the heart of the ship might cease all beating too. To work meant to live, and work we did for upwards of 3 hours. Then we were released. I was sent to the forecastle to rest, along with Morgan, Barlow, and Fisk. Morgan searched for his tobacco pouch, but most personal belongings were flung about and broken, and those still whole were soaking wet. He swore in frustration. "Be glad you're breathing air, lad," Fisk said wearily. Chilled to the bone, exhausted, I tumbled into a hammock and tried to sleep. But I'd hardly closed my eyes before I was called out again. Now I was to stand to the wheel. The captain was there. To his credit, he remained at the helm throughout the storm, calling upon us to attempt this adjustment or that, anything to keep our stern toward the wind. Barlow, my partner, did most of the work. Great strength was wanted just to hold the wheel steady. Whatever strength I had was fast ebbing. I was frozen, miserable. It did not matter. From duty at the wheel, I returned to the pumps. From the pumps to the forecastle. Thence again to the wheel. Round and again, perhaps 3 times in all, I lost count. At last, some 17 hours after we'd first been called out, the storm abated. I was allowed to return to my hammock, where, spent and shivering, I closed my eyes. On the edge of sleep, I suddenly recalled the visitation of Zachariah and the demise of Mr. Hollybrass. This thought of the dead served to remind me that I was still alive, and that consolation eased my body and calmed my mind. Within seconds, I slept the sleep of the dead, who wait, with perfect equanimity, upon the final judgment.
This ends Disc 4.